Mookie. This is why we paid Mookie to hit game-winning doubles. This is why we paid Mookie to win the game in a clutch situation. Mookie did it.
Woo! Yes, he did.
Mookie,
he did it.
Mookie.
He had it. Mookie had it. Then Scott Alexander dropped it.
You're not going to take it away.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Wait, what are you talking about? Scott who? What are you talking about?
He lost all his L.A. privileges. Scott Alexander lost all of his L.A. privileges among the fans, but it didn't matter because Edwin Rios in the 13th inning came through two-run homer.
The 13th inning? Oh, no.
13th inning.
No. Mookie won the game.
Okay.
Mookie won the game.
Look, I'm just telling you what baseball and their totally perverted sense of justice, how they logged the game. I'm just telling you what they said. I'm giving people the official word. I know how it all actually broke down. I'm just telling you how it's actually going to go down in the history books. But again, and we'll get into this.
I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. This is how it's going to go down in my heart. Mookie won the game. It was two outs. He got a ribby. He got a double in the 11th. He won the game. I don't know nothing about no Scott Alexander. I'm not recognizing that. I'm not giving it any time, any thought. I'm just focusing in on Mookie. You know why? Do you know why? I'm going to tell you why, Andy. Because when it's a clutch situation, what's more likely to happen? Mookie's going to be in position to help us win, or Scott Alexander is going to trick it off. I'm going to say it's more likely that Mookie's going to be in a position to win. So what I learned yesterday wasn't that Alexander can't be trusted, because I already had that information. I already knew that. What I learned yesterday was that in a clutch situation on the road against a very good team that's pitching incredibly well, with two outs, and you got Mookie at the plate, you have a chance, dog. Mookie won the game, dog. Mookie came through for us. Now, I know. Alexander doing us, and we needed some help from Rios. God bless you, thick thighs. You did it. I appreciate it. But listen, the clutch situation that you got to stay focused in on is that the guy we just dropped 350, stepped up and came through when we needed it most. He was having an awful game batting-wise. Awful! What was he, 0 for 5 or something? It was terrible.
Along those lines.
Two outs. The 11th, on the road, Houston. A bunch of hostile cutouts in the stands booing him. And came through in the clutch. That's what I took away from it. Him and Dustin May is here to stay.
Yeah,
Dustin May is here to stay. Those are the two things I learned.
This is why you get $300+ million if you're Mookie, because you're getting paid to come through when it matters. And Mookie, after a slow start, after I think a period where he's needed to get acclimated, he's needed to get used to the idea of being a Dodger, get used to the idea of your new team, get used to the idea that you just got $300+ million, and like, what that all means, it looks like he's starting to get more used to it, and he came through. You are correct. He came through when it was asked of him. He did his job, got dropped by Scott Alexander, but then Edwin Rios comes through, 13th inning. Dodgers sweep the Astros, two-game sweep. Did they get all the revenge that they deserve? Did they get all the justice that they deserve? No. But they did get, I think, the most that you can realistically expect in a 60-game season with the stakes that are there. You get at least, not closure, but a little bit of closing. There's still a lot to go before you get closure. I don't even know if closure feeling whole is possible. But you get a little bit of closing. You got the whole world laughing at that team. The world has decided to re-hate the Astros, and the Dodgers and Joe Kelly had their role in making that happen.
Yeah. I mean, it was not a good day for justice. All right? It was not a good day for justice. Winning the baseball game, sweeping the Houston Astros feels good, but it's not justice. Justice is still being denied. Justice is just isn't going to come. Baseball has made it clear, do not expect justice out of this situation. They've made that abundantly clear. When you decide that you're going to suspend Joe Kelly that many games in a 60-game season, which mathematically is about the equivalent of 22 games. So imagine being suspended for 22 games, 22 games for sticking your tongue out, 22 games for saying some words that, oh, by the way, in comparison to the words that were said to you, were pretty nominal. And then in order to justify it, baseball is going to say, yeah, well, you were really naughty in 2018 as well, so we're just going to heap it on. I'm like, oh, well, since we're doing reverse, since we're looking in the past to add to the present, I wonder what did the Houston Astros do in 2017 and 2018?
If we're going to start playing the long game backwards. Suspend some Astros and get this thing done. Like, if you're actually going to start looking at the entirety of a situation, then what are we doing here? The whole situation is about
what are we doing here? Exactly. But you're going to arbitrarily choose to look at our reliever and things that he did when he was in Boston. You're going to make him pay for it in L.A.
Look.
Meanwhile, the team that cheated, and you know they cheated, and then on top of it, they didn't care that they cheated. They had a sham of a press conference. They gave very few, if any, sort of apology. They made jokes at our expense. They did everything possible to let you know they gave zero about how they felt about our cheating. And on top of that, we're now being asked to respect and protect them? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Baseball has to understand.
So there is no justice.
No. I mean, again,
there is no justice coming here. There's no justice coming our way, LA.
Nope. What you can hope for if you're a Dodger fan, if you're the Dodgers themselves, is there any sense of closure, even if it's 50% closure, 30% closure, something that makes it feel, if not right, right adjacent, something that makes you feel right about the situation? Because again, you're not going to get what you truly deserve, because what you truly deserve is an honest chance to win the World Series in 2017. And that's never going to happen. I'm like, baseball, to be fair, can't deliver that. And that's the one thing that it would truly take to get closure and justice and to really right this thing. That's impossible. But if baseball isn't going to do the next most realistic thing, which was punish all those guys as opposed to giving them a pass as long as they rolled on the situation. Like, Joe Kelly may have gotten suspended just because there was nobody to roll on. Like, there was nobody for Joe Kelly to flip on, so therefore you get 8 games. Like, baseball had no use for Joe Kelly, as opposed to all those different Astros that they had a use for in really figuring out what happened so they could essentially suspend Carlos Beltran. You know, they could suspend all these guys that ultimately nobody cares about. You know, they could find the Astros in a way that doesn't mean anything to anyone other than maybe the Astros, except they got off so easily it doesn't matter. But this is the next best thing. You sweep the series and you remind everybody how much they hate the Astros, you get everybody laughing at the Astros again. It's about as good as it's going to get. Listen,
our revenge from now on is going to just keep our head down and try to grind out these games. We got some struggles that's been very present since game 3 of this season with our bats. You know, they're cold, to say the least, frozen, to say the most. Our situation with runners in scoring position is abysmal. We're not making pitchers work. We're swinging at junk. We're pressing. Ever since the second game of the season where we blew out the Giants 9-1, our bats have taken an unpleasant dip. You know, there were stretches in the extra inning session, in which I just couldn't figure out what the goal was. Like is the goal to try to end the game in one swing? Because that's what we used to do like three seasons ago.
Yeah.
I thought we had moved past that. Yeah. Yes, I thought we moved past that. And I don't know if it's because it's only 60 games. I don't know if it's because of all the hype. I don't know if it's because of all the fact that it was Houston. But there were moments yesterday in which I was like, and we did this. Kike hit a ball, and I was like, yo, where's that dude that couldn't miss in game one of the season? The one that drove in like five ribbies. And where's that dude? The one who waited for the right pitch and didn't swing that junk. So, you know, we got some things that we need to work out of. But even with our struggles, it feels great to sweep the asterisks. It feels awful knowing that baseball has no intention of rectifying the situation that they basically screwed up. But our best bet now to try to put that behind us as fans, as well as players, and keep moving forward, because if baseball won't give us our respect, then we're going to take it.
I mean, ultimately,
that was the sound of the microphone dropping. I don't know if you could hear it.
I couldn't.
It was a long trip down.
Unfortunately, I was literally telling me where we were in the clock as the mic dropped. So I apologize. I wanted to give you that mic
drop. Nice going, Jorge.
Apologize.
Man, don't blame me, Jorge.
Was not my fault. I literally did not hear. But here's the thing, though, LZ.
We're still falling. Hold on.
Well, we're gonna hear your mic over the next three. And I guarantee we're gonna hear that mic over the next three or so hours. So I'm not worried about that.
Did you hear it? Did you hear it? I dropped it again. Okay.
Dodgers did their job, and by the way, they made up the ground that they lost splitting against the Giants. But you can't get totally past it, because we still got to deal with hashtag free Joe Kelly. Talk about that. If the punishment was too much, but also too maybe how baseball did the Dodgers a little bit of a favor. We'll get into that next.
Move along.
Guess whose birthday it is?
Vivica Fox.
Why are you spoiling? I was going to give you a hint and stuff.
Oh,
happy birthday, right. Vivica Fox. Vivica A. Fox.
Yes.
Like in Vivica's A. Fox.
Yes, she
Vivica's
was.
A. Fox. What do you mean was? Yes. She didn't die.
Fair enough.
She still got it.
I ain't seen her in a while. I've not seen her, actually. Literally, I've not seen her in quite some time. So it felt very was, but you are correct. She is still with us, and I'm willing to assume she still looks quite good. I just haven't seen her in a while.
She's still fire. She's still fire. She turned 56, which just makes me feel older.
Vivica A. Fox. I'm going to go take a look, see if I can find a recent photo. See what she's looking like these days. I'm guessing she's aging quite well.
You better say the right
she
stuff,
is.
Andy. This is an important moment for you.
She is. Well, I mean, there's no snake draft on this for me to lose. I mean, it doesn't really matter what I say.
You still got a chance. It's not over.
I'm going to need some gerrymandering to win this one, unfortunately. I have no regrets.
See what you guys do.
Well, here's the thing, because I'm way behind LZ right now.
What are the results? I haven't taken a look. What are the results?
It's currently 70-30 you. It is currently 70-30 you. And I have no regret. No. My list is good. Clinton came on yesterday blind and thought mine was better. My list is good. But
blind is very key. Go ahead.
Blind is perfect, because all you have to do is know who the people are. He didn't know who was involved in terms of picking them. I took the first overall, you know, as far as musicians that we would take back from the dead, that we'd bring back if we could. Prince, who, by the way, would have been your number one overall if you had the same opportunity. But your first two picks, Tupac and then Bob Marley, that is I don't want to say recovery, because it's your first time out, but that is a strong response. That is a really, really strong response with Tupac and Bob Marley. And you more than just held serve there, man. You more than held serve. That was a good, good response. I'm not crying. I ain't crying until you did a good job.
Not yet. Where you went wrong was David Bowie. I tell you.
No apologies. No apologies, man. Not David Bowie.
You don't. You, You and Travis, y'all got a hard head. Hard.
Don't they?
Try to tell you ahead of time.
And
hey, don't ooh, they,
Ron? Ooh, hey, and what round did I say he always blows it before it started? I said in the third round. You always do that. And you have it, and you're just like, ah, I'm just going to do this. It's like you got the lead.
So you think
and
I, you're, you think
you're
I
up 28, and you're just going to start passing on third, on second and one, third and one. You're just going to Saints it. You're just going to be a Sean Payton, you know,
so you the thought, Rams. So you thought Prince, then James Brown. I'm strong.
I like that. Yes.
And then it was Bowie. And then Jimi Hendrix was not enough to recover.
Not just, enough just to no. recover. I would have gone Tupac. You could have gone Whitney or something.
I couldn't
like that.
Go Tupac.
I would have gone Tupac. So maybe Nirvana. I would have gone in
you
the grunge.
Gone Biggie.
Yeah.
I was shocked you didn't go Biggie.
That's what I meant when I said Tupac. Excuse me.
Selena, was your wife auditioned for it? Oof.
Your wife auditioned for Selena? Your wife could have been Selena. Did you not pick Selena because you were rebelling? I mean, you have no women on your list. Which sounds misogynist, if you ask me. But you have no women on your list.
You only get you four choices, my single, God.
Well,
you didn't
we're
want to bring a single woman back. Not a Whitney Houston. Not a Selena. Not an Aretha.
All right, relax. Relax. All right.
Have you decided what you're going to do tomorrow? Since tomorrow you get to pick the category, you get to pick the snake draft. What it's going to be? You get it's hand picked for you.
I'm still weighing all these different categories that I can blow in the third round. There's a lot of different ones for me to choose from. I'm trying to think of what the best one possibly is for me to blow in the third. A lot of options, but I'll have one. I will definitely have one for tomorrow. LZ, I assume, is not going to be losing any sleep. The Dodgers. Losing sleep probably over Joe Kelly. He's going to be out for now 7 more games. The league dropped the hammer on Joe Kelly, gave him an 8-game suspension because of sticking out your tongue gate in game one against the Astros, the pitch behind the head of Alex Bregman, the breaking curveball that sort of broke towards Carlos Correa, then the bench clearing and the sticking your tongue out. And they me. Drop the hammer on him. As you said, LZ, that's the equivalent of like a 22-game suspension. This is like the stuff that usually you get if you're doing PEDs, things like that. Here's the first question I have. If what Joe Kelly did was so egregious, why was he not even ejected? He wasn't even ejected, and he managed to get an 8-game suspension for something he was not even ejected for.
Because baseball feels the need to send a message to the rest of the league about the Astros. This suspension was all about protecting the cheating team. And that's why I'm telling all of LA, forget the justice. There will be no justice. We've had our vigilante justice, and that's all the justice we're going to get until September when they come here. That's just the reality of it all. Like, it's just awful. It's an awful feeling to know that not only did we have a World Series taken from us by cheaters, but then they weren't punished by baseball for being cheaters, and now they're being protected by baseball because they are cheaters. Think about that. That's like 3 slaps to the face by one commissioner on a historic franchise. He has screwed this up royally, royally.
Yeah.
See, that team, that Houston Astros team, cheated 2 historic franchises, if you count the Stankies. 2.
I mean, they're historic, this whether thing. You like them or not, they're historic.
Yes, and then on top of that, then you're going to tell everybody, all the managers, all the players, all the coaches, you're going to tell all the fans. You're going to have to now not only recognize them as champions, but we're going to punish you if you try to punish them. And we're going to use any method, any low down, dirty method we can use in order to send that message. Like digging back to 2018, that said in 2018, you put your socks on backwards. And because of that, we're going to add 2 more games to the suspension. Or whatever the hell the rationale was. Now, I'm sure Joe Kelly is going to appeal. and I'm sure he's going to get it reduced down to six games. And six games is too much. When you six games would be too much.
That's a tenth of the season.
Yes. Yes.
That's a tenth. Which, by the way, too, this is crazy. The Dodgers now 4-2. I think they've made up some ground after splitting against the Giants by sweeping this series. They're not 4-2. We're a tenth of the way through the season. That's crazy. Six games in,
that's crazy.
Tenth of the way in, and I still don't feel confident they're going to finish. That's how crazy all this is. We're a tenth done, and I'm still not confident. But that's a different, story for a different day.
Well, one thing I am confident in, I'm confident in Dustin May. I'm confident in Mookie. I'm confident that this organization, even in the struggles that we're having offensively right now, and we're struggling, man.
Yes.
We're struggling right now because,
because
I don't think anyone had that pitching staff in their top 10, the one we just faced last night. I don't think that was, you know, the guys that we thought for sure were going to keep our bats cold. So I think I know I did anyway, thought we're going to see more offense from both of these teams. And what we saw was a defensive struggle for the most part, which was entertaining, but a little bit shocking. But listen, the Houston Astros are behind us now. Now we got to face the D-backs. We have to concentrate on winning every tenth of a game. That means 4 out of 6 is the worst we can do to maintain our lead, to keep this thing going the way we want it to go. 4 out of 6 is the worst we can do. So we just hit these first 6 games. I would like to see a 5-1 or a 6-0 stretch now.
All right, coming up, actually, I have a theory both about the cold bats and also about how Free Joe Kelly, hashtag Free Joe Kelly, may be egregious in terms of what's actually justice and what isn't justice. But it might be a little bit helpful towards the Dodgers. Getting that coming up next, 710 ESPN. Lakers kicking off their season tonight, LZ. NBA restarting everything. It is official. The Lakers taking on the Clippers in game one of their restart. Get to that in a second, but I just want to share a theory with the Dodgers and the bats, which have been cold, particularly with runners in scoring position. They have been really bad. I actually wonder if there is a chance that the Dodgers have been really looking towards this series. The first time they've played the Astros since, I think actually since the World Series, but definitely since learning how everything went down. And they've been a little bit tight just thinking about the opportunity to get that revenge, the opportunity to at least answer in some way. And now that it's done, it might loosen up a little bit. We'll see. I mean, it's an opportunity to see it against Arizona, but it got me wondering.
I don't know. I mean, they start to get cold during the Giants. So I don't know if I'm going to say
as they were getting closer, though, to the Astros.
So what are you saying? Game 3 of the season, they started thinking about game 5 already?
I mean, how much were we thinking about it? We were already thinking about that. There's no way they weren't thinking about it. I mean, we were. We were talking. We were already talking about that heading towards game 5.
I mean, that's a good theory. I mean, you're right in the sense of if fans are thinking about it, if baseball, you know, analysts and aficionados are all thinking about it, then it's only natural that the players and coaching will be thinking about it. But when you look at some of the struggles that started to creep up in game 3 of the season, and they repeated themselves in game 4 and repeated themselves. Remember, game five, the first game against Houston, we only scored in one inning.
Yep.
One inning.
Yep.
So we've played, 22 innings against the Astros and only scored in, 4 of them? So when you think about it, and that's a carryover from the Giants, you know, to me, it was a really blazing hot start, and then they progressively cooled off, and I feel as if the situation with the Houston Astros, the asterisk, if you will, is just a byproduct of bats cooling off, not necessarily a overwhelming focus on trying to beat the Astros. That's my take.
We'll see if my theory has anything tonight, because they're going to be in Arizona taking on the Snakes, but Lakers, Clippers in it's Orlando. Here. The real games are finally upon us, LZ. And the Lakers are going to be taking on a Clippers team that is shorthanded. They definitely will not have Lou Williams, Lemon Pepper Gate. They will not have Montrezl Harrell. He's not yet back in the bubble from dealing with a family emergency. We don't know if they're going to have Patrick Beverley. He still has not officially cleared quarantine after leaving because of his own personal issue. The Lakers have an opportunity, I think, to win this game and essentially lock up that first seed from the jump, like to whatever degree you think it matters in terms of dictating matchups, anything like that, you can basically hammer lock that thing from game one because the Clippers are the team behind you. They're already 5.5 back. And then Frank Vogel gets the freedom to use the next 7 games to do whatever he wants, trying to figure out what he has, trying different floor combinations, all these different things. You have the opportunity to make a statement and give yourself freedom right off the bat with this game.
Yeah, I don't know if this could be even thought of as a statement game. You know, before, I really thought this was important because I didn't want the Lakers to lose the series against the Clippers because I thought that may have given them a psychological edge. But now that you see that Anthony Davis may or may not play, it still isn't decided. When you know that Lou Will and his chicken wings are still in quarantine, when you know that Montrezl Harrell is not going to play, when you know that Pat Beverly may not play, is it really a statement game? Is it really, you know, the Lakers versus Clippers? It doesn't feel that way to me now. Like, I can't get anything out of it. The only thing I would get out of it, if there was a blowout either way, I would just wonder if that said something about the startup and whether or not either team was ready to rock and roll. Because the last time the Lakers were winning, you know, the game against the Clippers was intense.
You know, it wasn't
a blowout. It was two teams going back and forth, which is exactly how the entire series has been this season. Intense, tight fourth quarters, you know, a play here or a play there making a difference. And so if there was a blowout all of a sudden, I don't think that would be emblematic of what that rivalry is. I think the first three games would be. So I was hyped for this game. Now I'm just hyped because basketball is back. But I don't think I'm going to learn anything because of all the bias that are missing.
Yeah, I mean, you're right in that sense, particularly if the Lakers actually have Anthony Davis back. He said yesterday that his plan for the time being is to play. And these guys usually have a pretty good idea of where they are, especially if they say this stuff out loud. So I'm imagining that unless there's some type of setback or regression, Anthony Davis is going to be in the lineup. So you're correct that a full Lakers squad, you know, minus Avery Bradley, who's not in the bubble, minus, you know, Rajon Rondo, but the Lakers do have J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters. Waiters in particular has played very well in the bubble. You know, they're at a better strength than the Clippers, whose their entire bench dynamic changes without Lou Williams, without Montrezl Harrell. I mean, that's a very different team. The Lakers, though, when LeBron and Anthony Davis have played together, you know, we saw that the first half against Dallas. We saw that the first quarter against Orlando before AD got poked in the eye. The Lakers, offensively, if nothing else, they have not looked like they've missed a beat. Like, they have looked really good. They've looked like the Lakers. Like, despite the layoff, despite the weirdness of the bubble, they've looked a lot like themselves. And if nothing else, it's felt like a good sign.
Yeah. I mean, they looked good. They really looked good. I think for most of us, the curiosity was about how did J.R. Smith look? How did Deion Waiters is going to look? And to your point, Deion is balled out, dog. Like, he is balled out to the point in which I'm going, did we steal something here? Was this dude really just sitting out there chilling like that and we just came in and stole him? Is that what just happened? Because he looks like someone who could play in the fourth quarter of a game that matters. And when you find people like that this late in the season just on the street hanging out, I'm not talking about just an active body. You know, you can still find active bodies who can just spell. But Deion looks like the dude that you can have with less than 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the finals, and you can see he's on the floor because of what he can do offensively and the fact that he's a willing defender with some decent size on switches. I'm like, did we really just find that dude? And
then I mean, look,
JR, I never worried about JR from a ball perspective. Never. My whole thing with him was whether or not he was going to pull a Lou Will. And that's real talk. Raj knows. That's the first thing that came out of my mouth. I never said anything about whether or not he'd be fit. People were like, you know, Travis and Key were like, man, he's been sitting down for so long. I was like, man, that dude's a baller. It don't matter how long he's been sitting. That dude right there, that one, JR, oh, ball-wise, he's going to be straight. I just worried that he was going to try and get some number pepper wings in the bubble. That was my only concern.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing though. If you're gonna be J.R. Smith, and you're gonna do something like that inside the bubble, once you've gotten that opportunity, I mean, Mike, at that point, you're basically saying, I don't want to be in the NBA anymore. Like, really, you're at that point saying, I'm cool calling it a career because this is your last shot. This is Deion Waiters' last shot. I mean, frankly, had DeMarcus Cousins not gotten hurt, Dwight Howard might not be in the league right now. So, you know, I mean, the Lakers have done well so far with these type of guys, and Deion's looked good with what we've seen. 877-710-ESPN. Let us know what you're going to be looking for in this game in terms of gauging where the Lakers are. If there's something in particular, talk more about the restart. It is back, LZ. Basketball, real, honest to goodness, regular season games that count are back in the NBA. Lakers kicking it off tonight against the Clippers in the bubble, the second of the regular season game kickoff. We're waiting to find out if Zion is going to be there for the Pelicans against the Jazz. He is apparently a game time decision. I know what the league wants. I know exactly what the league wants. They want him there. You want as much Zion as you can possibly get from the jump.
Of course. He's the name, right? He's the name. He might be the future. You know, we're going to see. But he's definitely the name. And there's a curiosity about him that I have in the sense of not whether or not he's going to be a good player or an all-star. Like, I don't have any questions about that. But when he started out the gate and people started comparing him to LeBron James, then you started asking yourself, does this young man have the potential to be an all-time great? Like, what is the ceiling for Zion? And I think this restart with him and Ja on the court at the same time as the eyes are being refocused into the NBA, we're going to begin to answer those questions. Because a lot of people feel that if Zion had played the entire season like Ja Morant, Zion would be the clear rookie of the year. I don't know if that's true.
Ja had a hell of a season, man. Ja had a hell of a season. Really good year.
And Ja doesn't have the luxury of having veteran teammates around him. He had to be a leader he had to be a man as while he's learning to be a man in the league. So I don't know if that's true. But I do know that in this reboot, what we get to see happen is whether or not Zion and Ja can create the tension in the battle for this title of the best rookie that we were robbed of at the beginning of the season because of Zion's injury. So there's so much going on in terms of Zion's storyline. Can he be an all-time great? Is he really the best rookie? Can he get this team into the postseason? Like, all these little questions about him are absolutely fascinating. And I, for one, to see how he steps in and answer these questions. Because so far, the young man has been incredibly impressive. Incredibly impressive.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And by the way, this all matters, too, because the Lakers, you know, they have this opportunity tonight to essentially lock up the first seed. I mean, the odds favor them keeping it anyway. They got a 5.5 game lead over the Clippers. But if they win this opener against a shorthanded Clipper squad that doesn't have Lou Williams, doesn't have Montrezl Harrell, may not have Patrick Beverley, definitely don't look like they're in sync just in terms of guys being in and out of the lineup, in and out of the bubble. The Lakers, it sounds like, we don't have confirmation yet, but it sounds like, if nothing else, Anthony Davis is planning on being in that lineup. They have the opportunity to lock up that one seed, and Frank Vogel, I think, has an opportunity from there to tinker around, find some lineup combinations that he likes, whatever. But all of this stuff then, in terms of the battle you're talking about between Ja Morant and Zion Williamson and how they show out in the rest of these regular season games, that could dictate who the Lakers end up playing in that first round. You've still got everything going on with Portland and them trying to make some serious noise. So it's going to be really fun. I mean, it's going to be so much fun to see all this kick off, not just because, you know, we want basketball back, we want the NBA back, and because, knock on wood, the bubble's holding up so far, it seems like the NBA actually has a legitimate opportunity to finish this season. All of these peripheral games actually affect the Lakers because we don't quite know who they're going to be playing in the first round, but all of their opponents offer some degree of challenge or just some degree of entertainment. Like, all of their first-round matchup potential, if nothing else, I think are really entertaining matchups. Like, I think they'll be fun.
Yeah. This is going to be an exciting postseason from beginning to end. It's always exciting when the Lakers are back. It just always is. Even growing up in Detroit, as a, you know, as a diehard Pistons fan and as a diehard Magic Johnson fan, we never felt as if our season in Detroit ended because the Pistons either got eliminated early or didn't make the postseason at all because we had Magic and we had the Lakers. And I'm trying to paint the scenario for listeners who are like, why does he love the Lakers so much? Because Magic's from Detroit, or just outside of Detroit. Lansing's very, very close to Detroit. He's played pickup basketball in Detroit. And Detroit, just like in New York and Chicago and many other cities, there are legendary playgrounds and gyms where you build your name, get your street cred. And Magic used to come into Detroit and do just that, play with George Gervin and things like that in Detroit. And that's how he built his name. So we've always been Laker fans and loved Magic, always been conflicted when they face each other in the finals because of that history. And I can tell you, we've always, always looked forward to seeing the Lakers play. Always. So that's just been a constant. And now that they're back in the postseason, this is just hype, hype city. But you get so many of the storylines to your point. You know, facing the Clippers, what is Houston going to do? Which rookie are the Lakers going to face? Which rookie is going to prove to be the true rookie of the year? Because the rookie that comes through on the other side of this, I think in a lot of people's eyes will be viewed, regardless of who gets the award, that rookie will be viewed as the rookie of the year. So it's so much energy and hype and storylines about this reboot, Andy. I can't even keep up. It's going to be just exciting. We hadn't even talked about the East and who I call Kobe Jr. and Jason Tatum. You watch out, y'all. Y'all watch out. That boy going to bring it. That boy is going to be all right.
Like, that's right.
All right.
St. Louis represent. So he's from St. Louis, man. That kid can play, man. He's good. He is really good.
He can go. Look at his footwork, man. He got grown man footwork.
Could have been
grown
a Laker.
Grown man footwork.
Could have been a Laker. It's,
I mean, so he could have been a Laker. We could decided to go with Zoe because we wanted to go with Zoe because we wanted to get Anthony Davis. You see how that worked?
Yeah. You know, look, he could have been a Laker, which might mean he could be a Pelican. You never know. I mean, but you know, he might actually be a part of the Pelicans. But it's always fun to think about like this, like the different scenarios that could have played out, because if, say, you have Jason Tatum as part of a package that you could deal for Anthony Davis, maybe the Lakers manage to hang on to Brandon Ingram. You know, maybe they manage to hang on to Josh Hart. Like, if you have somebody that you can throw in there like Jason Tatum. Like, it's always fascinating to think about how the wheels could have ended up turning. But either way, the Lakers have Anthony Davis, and it has made LeBron happy. And LeBron has an opportunity in front of him right now with his career and his legacy. Talk a little bit about what is potentially on the line for LeBron as this restart begins. 877-710-ESPN if you want to weigh in. 710-ESPN.